Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Miss Tiana.
Hi, can you hear me? Good.
I can hear you. I can hear you, man. I can hear you crisp. This is great. This might be the best sound I have ever had in the episode, man. You sound crispy.
Thank you.
Yo, you know what? I want to thank you and tell you how much I appreciate you coming on to the Single, Obsolete, and Dangerous podcast. A podcast where black folk actually come together and talk about white supremacy, racism, and white people, what they think, but don't know how to say constructively. So thank you again for, finding a little bit of time to share with me a little bit,
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Exactly. So when we get started, we always start the same way. We always have these very poignant type of questions. So first question is, are you white or are you non-white?
I'm non-white.
Okay. And does the system of white supremacy, which is racism, does it exist?
Of course.
Okay. Now, because the system of white supremacy exists and you are a non-white person, what have been some of the things that you have learned to help you navigate through the system of subjugation and oppression and mistreatment?
Oh, that's a good question. As a black woman, you just learn how to handle things a little bit differently because you navigate through that. And then, of course, we also deal with sexism, So we just work just as we have to always work harder to, like, I don't know if it's so much to prove ourselves or if it's just so much to just see like they're better than them because it seems like they just automatically give off a superior attitude. You know what I mean? So just the way to navigate through it is to just really like educate yourself, make sure you're about your business, and don't let anyone walk over you just because they think they may be better than you.
Okay. You had said something about sexism. In regards of the system of white supremacy, which is racism, would sexism and racism, from what you see, do you see it as being the same thing?
I don't, not at all, but I was just saying, just as a woman, we deal with that as well. I don't think they're just, I don't really look at them as being the same thing because a white man won't deal or won't deal with or won't think that a white woman should get anything as equal as him
So does
just
that
because she's a woman.
do you find commonality as a non-white woman with white women when it comes in regards of white men practicing sexism?
No, we don't got nothing in common when it comes to that. I mean, you might a little, but we're because we're both women, but it'll still be they'll still favor like a white woman over me if that's their mindset or their mentality.
The reason why I'm asking just a little bit more clarity about that, because what has happened is it winds up becoming conflated. And when I say conflated, meaning whenever someone is talking about racism, somehow, some way, whether it's a white person or non-white person, other things and mistreatments all of a sudden come part of the conversation. You know what I'm saying? And so, as a tactic, I've seen white people speak about sexism, then homophobia, then xenophobia. They'll start talking about all these other
Well,
issues.
I believe that, not to cut you off, I believe that's just their privilege to really do so. You know what I mean? Because can they really
Okay.
sit up here and talk about racism when they're not experiencing it? No, but they consider they could, so they'll bring other things into the mix, like, oh, gays are being mistreated and women are being mistreated and things like that, or because they can't really speak on racism like you see it or it's there, whatever, if they choose to acknowledge it. Sometimes they choose not to, but you can't really speak on it because you're not experiencing that. So of course they're going to go on to other things that are happening, like, oh, the gays are being mistreated and women still aren't getting equal pay, and we're not talking about that right now. But me, as a Black woman, I feel like I can speak about the racism, and you can also speak about, you know, the sexism that's going on, because we're going to experience both, whereas a white person may not.
I see. Was there a time, on the advent of racism or white supremacy, was there a time that sexism was prevalent among Black folk?
Was there?
Meaning like, yeah, was sexism among Black people, let's say, before the interaction of white people and the interaction of Arabs, right? So in ancient Africa, we descend from Africa. Was there the gender issue among African people? Did African people have a problem with women and the issue of women having a matriarchy within our African societies before we interacted with Europeans or interacted with Arabs?
I don't really think so. I mean, we had queens and all
we had goddesses.
We have god. I was, that was going to be my next thing. Like, we have queens, we have goddesses. Like, in my personal opinion,
So now we're directly focusing. Now we understand that even in the case of dealing with sexism, even if we were to solve the sexism issue and problem as it relates to Black folk, if the issue of racism is there, we will still have a problem. Because, now there may be some people who are listening to this and like, no, Austin, you know, there's some patriarchy in ancient Africa. Yeah, okay. Oh, I'm a studier of history, and I'm also a student of many great master teachers that I subscribe to. And one of those master teachers was John Henry Clark, peace be upon him. And one thing that he had expressed and said, that prior to Africans interacting with Europeans and prior to African people interacting with Arabs, as it related in among our people, the problems of sexism and gender issue was not our thing. That was not our problem. Mm-hmm. That wasn't an issue that was prevalent among our social African continuity. And it wasn't until we interacted with people who had developed a temperament because of their experience of trying to survive in the environments that they were coming from, that it created this gender equality issues. So absolutely, 100%. I agree with that 100%. That when it comes to sexism, when you come to the root of it as it relates to Black folk, it is not a reflection of something that we had before any white person ever came in.
Yeah.
I'm in total agreement with that. The question, I have a question to ask you. Do you have any white friends?
You know, I use that term friend, like, loose. Like, no, I'm not even going I'm not going to say I don't have a wife. I have white people and white people I associate with. I actually work in an environment that is predominantly white. I'm the only person of color, actually. Well, there's two, but she's not in the office anymore. The only woman of color on my team at my job. Like, so I have an associate, but like outside of work, like, chill, I'm going to tell you my problems, I'm going to call you up and do all that. No, not on that term. But, oh, let's go to happy hour or let's celebrate or whatever. Yeah, on that term, on that level, but not a deeper level. I don't really call too many people my friend, though. So I'm probably not the right person to ask that.
But you do have friends.
Yeah, but not close friends. Like, you know, they don't know where I live or nothing like that.
Okay. So you don't have, so it's, say if you were in a serious bind.
No.
Like a serious situation. You don't have a white person that you could call on that would, if you called on them, they would come and help you.
I wouldn't call them, but I'm not 100% sure, but this one I've met, I mean, she's really cool. I think if I was like in a bind and she was able to assist me, she probably would try. She's actually a very sweet girl. She really is. But again, I wouldn't call her, so I don't really know. But she probably would, if that makes any sense. I know that sounded like I was talking in circles, but did you get what I was saying?
No, man, I'm getting everything that you're
Okay.
saying. Now, I just want you to rock with me. Now, check this out. Do you, or is there anything that you have in your possession and or accomplished that was not given to you or allowed for you to have or do that does not include a white person and or white people directly or indirectly in your life?
No, I was going to say, like I discussed with you before, I do write or whatever, but even the self-publishing is through Amazon, which is owned by a white man.
There we go. So hear me out. So help me out here then. If you have nothing that you've accomplished or anything that you have in material possession that was not given to you or allowed for you to have by white people, but you do not have any white person that you can count on to really help you, does that seem logical?
No.
Oh. So what do you think then? You think we're gonna work on getting some white friends?
I mean, I like I said, I use that term friend loosely. I don't have too many black friends. Like, so it's
Okay,
just like
how
I
about
sometimes
this?
I'm
So
like I'm not the right person for that.
let's say white ally.
I could
Could we
work.
develop white allies? Could we do that?
I could. I could. I It doesn't have anything to do with them being them. It's just that's just how I am. That's all. But I
So
can work on that.
we can work on getting some white allies. I'm gonna tell you, good sister, it is imperative that you have white allies, that you have white people that you can count on to help you when you need the most help. I'm just gonna be 100% honest. If you are someone who's had a great deal of life experience, right? And in these life experiences, when it came from getting help, and we all need help. And this is the thing, as people, we all need help. We all need assistance. We cannot live. We are symbiotic beings. So a part of our success in living is based upon our interactions and our ability to commune amongst each other. And part of that communing is assisting and helping. You can't do anything on your own. And so, because that is a premise and that is true, what is not part of the natural premise or what was not done by the creator or whatever you believe in is that is a structure involved on who is able to help the most and who are able to help the least. And some of the biggest issues and problems that you may have had in your life, and I don't know them, I am pretty sure that when you had asked for certain help and it was a non-white person, and they didn't come through, and you had to experience what happened when they didn't come through. I assure you that there was probably a white person who you could have asked the same very same thing, and it would have been successful, and it wouldn't have been
You might
a
be.
problem.
You may be right. You may be.
So what I'm trying, so what I'm trying to do here is be critical and be logical about the situation that we're experiencing and seeing. It is imperative that we do have white people that we can consider as allies. I know you don't like the word friend, so we'd say as allies. But this would becomes the extra thing. How do we find these allies? How do we gauge? How do we know to be like, okay, this is a white person that I can count on?
I don't know. You know what? How do you? I don't know. I really don't.
That's some of the things that's what I'm trying to figure out. This is what part of the podcast is. I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm still trying to figure it out myself.
Like, I don't know.
Just logically trying to look at issues and problems and trying to just ask myself certain questions and trying to come up with some answers to these questions that I'm having. That what I'm observing. Because that is almost a quandary that everyone that I've talked to on the podcast had expressed whether they had white friends or not. And even when they said they had white friends, they were like, you know what? I do, but it's not that deep, or I don't break
Oh,
bread with
so the
you. Or
same exact thing I said. The same
on,
thing
yo.
I said.
Everyone said, come on. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm associates with them and I rock out with them. Like, you know what I'm saying? So And then the ones that say, yes, I have white friends. And so the next part of a pertinent question is, if you do have white friends, have you ever had any white friends tell you who other racist white people are?
You know, they're not going to do that.
They don't name names. <That's>, yo, I had another episode with a white male, and he was like, "Nope, I'm not gonna name names.
No, not
I'm
at just all. Not
gonna, I'm just not gonna tell you."
Not at all.
And then the ones who did have white friends, and they was like, "Oh, you're talking about racism? Of course, that we wouldn't be friends unless we talked about it." I bet. So they ever tell you some racist white people they know? No, they never told me. Or they told me. Well, did you at least write their names down? Nah, I never wrote their name. I don't want to make it hot. I didn't want to do that. I'm like, yo, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. What are we doing? Are we trying to solve problems, or are we trying to act like we are but never really do it? You know what I'm saying?
Dang.
You being a non-white woman, a black woman, you're a mother, and you're a mother of children, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What are some things that you think is important to teach being a black mother, teaching your children about racism? What are some things?
You know, it's just, we're in such a different time and age now to where, you know, before when we were growing up, it was what my grandma and them would tell us and what we would learn from them. But now, you know, these kids, they go and look at everything, like to the point now, my sons are 12 and 8, but my 8-year-old, he's a very precocious child. Like he should have been the older one. Like he learns about everything on his own to the point now these days with all these cop killings and these shootings and stuff going on, they'll tell you about it and ask you questions about it before you could even sit and think of to how to tell them.
Wow.
Yeah, they see everything. Like YouTube and that internet is their very best friend. So, and especially with them being their age, it's like, what exactly do you tell them? Because you don't want to send them out into the world with all white people are bad. You know what I mean? But you don't also want to, you have to be leery about the situation. Yes, it does exist. Yes, you are a black man. Yes, they are going to look at you a certain way, even if you're not that part, even if you're not that, just because of what they think you portray. And you're the total opposite of that. But you have to instill that in them while at the same time putting, but not all white people are bad. It's like an oxymoron. Like, but wait, you just said they're not all bad, but they're going to look at me like this. You know what I mean?
Right. Because they're very, you know, one thing about children, which is so important, is they're actually very logical.
Definitely.
And so they're very, and so because they're so logical and because they don't have a perceived notion of.
Right. They're not cognitive thinkers yet.
Yeah, yeah. So it's very plain. It's very plain. It's very plain. It's very plain Jane. So you have to be very literal. You know what I'm saying? And so. It's funny that you say that. What are some of the things that you've done to kind of deal with that, like you called it like an oxymoron? Like what are some of the things that you've been helped to kind of explain out, or what do you think would be kind of to help that confusion?
You know what helped that a lot? My younger son, very, very athletic little boy. And his favorite teacher at his school, gym's his favorite class, of course.
Right.
Of course. White man. And this white man came to all of his football games, came to his banquets. I talked to him, gave him like, what was the, he was the most athletic kid in first grade last year. Like he did all of that. So if you, I think it kind of helps, even though we're teaching them that, I think with children, it would kind of help if they could actually see something, like if they actually had someone around like that as well. Like, well, you're saying, you know, we have to be careful of them and they're looking at us as people that we're not. But then here's someone who's just looking at me as just a kid, you know, there's no color to it. He's just a really good guy. I think if they can see examples of people like that around, it might kind of help balance out what you're telling them. Like the part where you're like, well, they're not all bad, but then you still got to warn them. You get what I'm saying?
I do get what you're saying. This white teacher, this white gym teacher, could he be a racist white person?
I mean, he could be. I mean, I don't put it past them, but I mean, as far as I've known, like the interactions I had with them and we've had with them, I mean, he was fine, but I mean, who knows what he probably could be.
He probably could be. And so because that he probably could be, do you automatically trust him? Mm-hmm. Or you don't trust him?
Oh, I see what you did there. I see what you did there. Okay. I like that. I see what you did there.
You see how the cats come on, cat. Uh-huh. See, look at that. Some people, they come. See, listen, this is the single obsolete dangerous podcast. the dangerous part of the podcast is not me. The dangerous part is what's happening in the conversation.
I'm just saying, I peeped what you did. I'm very observant. That's all.
Okay, so since you peeped what I did, please, if you can, clarify for me.
Trust is just, I mean, and that's hard for Black people. You know what I mean? No, I don't trust. I mean, I don't trust him. I'm not saying like I don't trust him, but I don't know like what he does on his outside life. I just know that he was just supportive of my son. And I think that was just good for my son to see. That's all.
It was good for your son to see, but was it constructive for your son to understand?
I think it could be constructive for him to understand that, you know, support could come if that man was supportive of him. Like, he could understand that, maybe. I don't know. Was it constructive for him?
But you were using, because this is the thing, we're using him as the model to identify white allies. Remember when we could use him as,
like I said, I see what you're doing. Because I'm the one that said it's good for him to see that guy. Come, I see what you're doing here. I mean, I don't know, because will he think that they'll all be like that? I'm not sure. I was just using him as an example.
Good. That's good.
Because where we're from, how we grow up in our neighborhood, when you see a white man around, is not usually in a positive light. And I'm not saying this guy was in a positive, like he's just like the greatest thing, and use him like that's how white people should be. No, but as for my son, outside of that man, we don't have any we don't really have any white people in our lives.
Wow.
For real. We really don't. So, especially, like I said, in our neighborhood where we live, how we grow up, we don't. So it was nice for him to actually, you know, see this guy. Especially, like I said, for my younger son who watches these killings, who watches like little Black Panther documentaries and stuff on his own, who reads up on this type of stuff, you know? So I just thought it was nice for his little teacher to come support him like he did, because he didn't have to.
Yeah. But you know what? I would second to say it would be most imperative that he had to, because he's a white teacher, and I'm pretty sure your child goes to a majority Black school.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Okay, so it is even that much more imperative for a white teacher who's in a Black space with Black children that they do come to the after school program, to the football banquets, and all of that, so that their participation of being a teacher in all Black and a majority Black space with Black children. So, you know, he had to show up. In fact, it was imperative for him to show up.
I mean,
this is where we're at, because just check what you're saying. He didn't have to show up. Only regales back to the privilege that you spoke about, whether they could just do whatever they want. So then you're just like, listen, you ultimately say, yo, he had the power to come or not come, but no. This is not where we at. Because you know what would be the exemplary of his of real power is that if he would show up and do all the things that you did say and everything, right? Mm-hmm. And even show love and concessions for your son, but deep down have issue with Black children and Black kids, and he fails and mistreats all the other Black kids. And then when he gets called to the carpet, he's like, ho. You know, Miss Tiana, her son. I made him the most athletic first grader last year. So what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You see?
I mean, yeah. And so it could be.
So all I'm saying, is to be conscientious, not to, because you know what winds up happening? There's something that's called the white savior, right? And you can understand, racist white people, especially white supremacists. This is one thing that I always say, man. The white supremacists are masters of illusion, and they are masters of deception.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't say that just as a cliche. They are master magicians. They are masters of illusion. You have illusionists and then you have masters of illusion. White supremacists are masters of illusion. A master of an illusion are able to make you see something that is not there as though it is there. And they're able to make you see something that is really there to make you see that it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is imperative and into our peril that if we do not develop white allies and understand what we're dealing with, how we see it. Because this is the thing that I always ask. Can you tell the difference when you from a white person who is racist from a white person who is not racist when they're standing next to each other?
Are you asking me that?
Yeah.
You really can't.
They're not identifiable. Like, you see what I'm saying? Because they all look alike.
Depends on right? who gives you that fake smile the most. Like the one that don't show no teeth.
Man, the one who's smiling the
most. Oh, I hate that damn smile. Like, don't look at me like that.
the one who's got the biggest cheese. It makes me even that much more like suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
So check this out. So if we are in this situation to where there are two, is me or yourself, and we're looking at two white people, and one of them are a racist, but we cannot identify which one is the racist. Out of this example, there is actually one person who really does know who the racist person, white person is.
I was about to say that.
Yeah, the other white person.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, because they know that, because they see that, because they deal with that, it is definitely to our peril to man that we get an ally and find out which one it is.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry. Yeah. There was a question that I had presented and asked, and I wanted to ask your opinion on public display of discipline of Black children, right? And there was something that I was keenly kind of express because people were talking about. You ever see when we talk about white people when they and their kids are in Walmart or at the store and they're just cutting up.
I wish like my sons would do that.
I mean, but like literally, like they're cussing and doing all this, and you see even the white father or the white mother. How do they respond?
They're not. If they were responding, them kids wouldn't be acting up like, oh, my sons know better. I only got to look at them. You're not about to do that to me in those stores. And it starts when they're younger. When they're the mm-hmm. kids' ages where I see them kids doing that the most is when mm-hmm. they are little, like around toddler preschool age. It starts there. Like, you have to let them know. And I'm not saying super discipline them and beat them up or nothing like that, but you have to, you know, put that, instill that in your kids that this is not what we're going to do. This is not how we act.
So are you doing that in public when they're doing it right then and there?
In public, man, yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not even going to sit up here and act like I'm not. No, I'm not about to sit up here and discipline you the way that I would discipline you at home. But what you're not going to do is sit up here and act out and think that it's okay. No, you're not.
So how about this? When the white mother, you're the white mother, could you do what the white mother is doing?
Hell no.
Okay, so now I'm confused. Okay, so the white mother is actually not doing anything.
I'm not going to not do anything, but I think that doesn't just
so
start.
What is it?
That does. I mean, okay. I'm sorry, as a mother, and how your okay. children act, that doesn't just start in a public place. You're letting your kids walk all over you at home too. That's not just because you're outside. They're acting like that, period, because that's how they act.
Do we know for sure that that's how the white children are acting?
Yes, as a mother, yes, that's how they're acting at home, because they're not punishing them, they're not disciplining them, they're not letting them know, they're not taking their privileges away from them, they're not doing none of that. Ain't no kid about to just come outside and just, I mean, maybe every once in a while, but the way that those kids do, no, they're getting away yeah. with it at home. You're not going to go out in public and try to get away with something out in public that you know your ass ain't getting away with at home.
I would venture to say, from your perspective that you're speaking, absolutely. But being critical and being logical, I do not really know, really. I mean, I can speculate, And I can hypothesize that, you know, the way they're acting here is how they act at home. But could I put $10,000 on it?
I mean, no, you can't. I'm just saying, as a mother. Now, check this out. And...
Right now, check this out. Now, run with me. Mm-hmm. Real quick. Just run with me. Because of this. Now, this is where it's gonna. I'm gonna kind of bring it around. If white people do not punish their children in public, does not really mean that they don't punish them when they're not in public. But the for sure fact that we do know is that they don't do the punishment in public. So what is that? What is it saying ultimately? If we understand our history, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we understand the context of which we are in this situation as it relates to America and this world. When we were on the plantation, it was imperative that we beat and discipline our children. Not only that, but we did it in public and we did it in front of white people and the white masters, because we thought that if we disciplined our children in front of them, they wouldn't want to discipline them. So we said, you know what? Hold on, master. You ain't got to do it. I know he cutting up, master. Let me get, he don't know what he doing. Come here, boy. Come. And the white person and white people would sit back and watch, like, oh, okay, cool. I don't got to do it. And for generations upon generations, we instilled in ourselves that, yo, when we're in public, discipline your child. Do something, you're going to have to do something, especially if there's any white people all around. Now, the behavior of white people is what they do is they do not discipline and do not chastise their children in public. Guess what happens when they become adults? When white people see another white person acting up in public, being racist in public, being irate in public, Do they chastise them? Do they correct them? No. Why? Because when they were children, nobody corrected them for acting up in public, not even their own parents.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. So this behavior of being racist and a white person calling out another racist, or a white person being an ally, you have to understand that this system breeds and prepares them to support this system. And so I was trying to bring a correlation, and I expressed, under no circumstances to counter racism, under no circumstances, even with my children, I have three. I do not, and my youngest one, Austin, oh, he is a cut up. But when I have them in public, I visualize a white woman and I just start acting like a white. How would a white woman do this right now? Austin, stop. I don't scream. I don't grab him. And I just, and then I look at everyone and I just, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so sorry.
I understand why you.
But what am I doing? I am showing that in public, under no circumstances, for any reason, will I chastise or discipline my child to where any white person could witness it happening. Now, when I get home, when no white person is around, oh, little Austin and I, we go out, man, he gets it. But check this out, but because I'm trying to exhibit behavior. Because one of the one things that that children do is they pay attention to what we do more than what we say. And they're going to see that even when I cut up in public, he's completely there. Dad don't be tripping. Dad don't even be yelling. When he's in public, Dad is actually calm and cool and restrained. Maybe I need to be calm and cool and restrained. Because what's going to happen is, at the very least, whatever I've been ingrained and taught to do, I have to counter it. There are many things that we do as people, as it relates to even being parents, as it relates to being in relationships, you know what I'm saying? That we've internalized, that has come from our experience as being slaves on a plantation. One of these And you were so very adamant. And, you know, you're very like, yo, nah, I wish he would. You know what I'm saying? That's
But
a
yeah,
very real
because
thing.
I don't think, but when it's like that, I mean, I'm not thinking. I mean, and what you said made 100%, it made sense. I'm not thinking about no white people or how no white people's looking at my son. I'm thinking about me as your mother. I'm out here doing everything for you. I'm breaking my back. You're not going to disrespect me. It doesn't have anything to do with white people.
Do it. So this, I like that part. Let's stay with that. Let's peel that back a little bit. Are you deserving of respect from someone else?
Of course. Why wouldn't I be?
Why would I'm asking you why?
I
Why would you?
said, like, yeah,
Why?
I mean, you
So respect. So regardless whether you have respect for yourself. You were to receive respect from someone else. Is that
if
what you're
you
telling me?
don't respect yourself, no, you don't deserve it.
Okay.
But it's all in how you, it's all in how you carry yourself. And I'm not letting.
Can somebody give you respect? Really?
Can somebody give it to me? I mean, if they choose not to respect me, you don't have to deal with them. But
There.
I'm not tolerating. I don't tolerate disrespect. That's just something that me personally, I don't do. And it's not about being, oh, just this person that's real hung up on it, and oh, I'm ready to go do or wild out if you disrespect me. No, I just don't tolerate disrespect from people in my life, especially not nothing I didn't carry for 9 months and brought into this world. Hell no. You're not
Okay.
disrespecting me.
When you say you don't tolerate, can you explain to me what you mean when you say don't tolerate?
From
Like tolerate.
people, from children, from people, from females that may have called themselves my friend and they did some type of things that weren't very friendly, which is why I don't have a lot of friends. From even going through young, dumb in love experiences, men even at work. No, I'm not talk I'm not a disrespectful person. You know, I give the same that I get, but I'm not tolerating nobody disrespecting me. And I don't have to.
So
I
when
don't
you
have
say not
to.
tolerate, what do you mean by not
I'm
tolerate?
not
What do you
putting
want?
up with it. I don't accept it. I don't have to accept disrespect because I don't give it.
So when you don't accept it, okay, all right. The do, DO, what do you do?
I cut it out of my life. I don't deal
So
with
you
it.
get so you stop interacting with
I'll
them,
stop
you stop.
I stop with when it comes to people, I'll stop interacting with it. If I'm in a job environment and I feel like something has been disrespectful or has been rude, whatever, I address it so that this
Right.
doesn't happen again. If it comes to like a family or whatever, we address it head on and so it doesn't happen again. And it's not just I'm just big on that because I'm not a disrespect I'm not a person that's going to mistreat anyone. I don't think you should allow someone to mistreat you. You know what I
Could
mean?
you control someone
I don't,
from
no, you don't have to control them, but what you can
no.
do is control how you deal with
Go
them.
ahead. There we go. Okay. So let's so this is going to be tight. We're going to bring it to the children piece, and I'm going to put myself in there. I cannot control my children to respect me. Okay? And I'm going to let you I'm also going to say is that it would be an uphill battle and almost a waste of time and energy trying to make my children respect me.
Why would you say that? Why?
Because respect is not given. Respect is self-given, meaning I have self-respect. I don't need anyone, whether it be my child, my woman, a white person, or anybody to give me something that I am to give myself.
I
And whether
mean.
they give, let me finish, and whether they give me respect or not does not preclude or does not hinder my ability to give respect. This is the essence of what people interaction that creates the racism part. This is where the action of racism, because we are in the understanding that we are human beings and that we are to treat each other with respect. But when we don't treat each other with respect, that's just when we have the conflict. But the understanding is if somebody is not to give you, nobody owes you respect. I'm gonna be honest with you. This is just me speaking. Your children. My children do not owe me respect.
Well, I think we
Well,
just have different opinions on
this,
that. We
the
could have
thing, but this is
agreed.
what I'm trying to do. But this is what I'm trying to teach my children. I tell them, you don't owe me respect. You owe yourself respect. Because there are going to be people, let me tell you, there are going to be people in your life that you come in contact with that will not give you respect.
That's true.
But that does not mean, but that does not mean or relegate that you do not have respect for yourself.
That's true.
It's better for you to, right. So what I'm trying to peel back it for them to understand is that, son, I don't say, man, you're going to respect me. I never say that. I'm going to say, son, I have some suggestions for you. I suggest that you would listen to some of the things that I say. If you do not listen, and if you do not pay attention to what I'm trying to show you, I'm going to let you know, son, there are things that you're going to have to experience that I cannot be involved with, nor could I be involved with to stop you from experiencing. I would suggest that you listen to me. I would suggest that you follow something that I'm trying to show you. But ultimately, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to teach them to be self-sufficient, self-reliant. And one of the key things to help our Black children is to have self-respect, regardless of whether they receive respect from a white person, a police officer. Because if we don't do that, because you know why? You talk about your sons looking at these police officers and things. Part of the conflict that happens is that there's this preconceived notion that we're supposed to get respect. And because of how they're treating us, they're supposed to do this, and they didn't do this. And since they're not doing this, I'm not going to comply. And that's not logical.
You're not complying
in a situation to where you can lose your life. You see how these little bit, see how that little bit, that little cut up in the store has created a foundation and a ground for a situation to happen with a police officer later because of the, now I'm not saying this, I'm not telling you that you're being improper, but that it is a non-constructive way of looking at respect. And we're teaching them as kids, because this is the one thing that we do know. When it comes to a police officer and how the police officer is the child's dealing with the police officer, they automatically go and start saying, you know what, they have an issue at home. You know what, they wasn't raised. And what are they speaking about? They're speaking about these very finite little lessons right here.
They are.
One of those good things. And they're speaking about this respect part. So it would be more constructive.
I mean, I agree, but I also disagree, because I don't feel as though just because it's like, yeah, I'm telling my kids you're going to respect me, that doesn't mean I don't instill self-respect in them. They know that I teach them that, you know, how to carry themselves, how to, you know, do that stuff so that they have a sense of being, sense of their self, how to not do things so you don't feel certain ways about yourself. I teach them that. I definitely instill self-respect in them. And I definitely have self-respect for myself, which is the reason I don't cut a fool when I'm mad or don't do, or just whatever. Like, you know, I definitely have self-respect for myself. I definitely carry myself as a woman. I have a lot of respect for myself. Absolutely. But that also doesn't mean that I'm not, that I don't deserve it from other people. I can't make you give it to me, but I don't have to deal with you if you don't. So, like I said, I agree, but I also disagree.
But not
on
with
certain,
our,
on certain
but,
points.
But our children, we can't not deal with our children.
No, but our, that, which is why I'm saying that as a man, it's probably different. Nothing against like the race or anything, but when you have carried a child in your womb for 9 months. Okay. You have went through the pain of your body changes. You have gone through emotional changes. You go through, so it's just a different experience from actually carrying this person inside your body, going through the pain of bringing them into this world. You're up with them, you're late, whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. But just actually carrying something and bringing it into this world, no, you're not.
Now,
I'm not
my question,
that.
Okay, because you're using that example. I mean, because you're using that example, please, can you explain to me, like, how old are your children? What are the ages?
Oh, they're old now. No, they're not that old. They're 12 and 8.
Okay, so 12 and 8. So at least between 12 to 8 years ago, that carrying and the sacrifices of that carrying, was it successful? Those sacrifices that you made, they were successful because they're alive
they're
right now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're here and they're good kids.
Right. So because you did this sacrifice, could it be taken away? What you did, could it be taken away?
No, it can't be taken away. I mean, I see what you're trying to say.
Okay, so because... So because you did what you were supposed to do when you were supposed to do it, and no one could take it away, does it have any bearing right now? if it can't be taken away and you did what you were supposed to do, does it have any bearing right now, especially with your sons?
I mean, right, I get what you're like. Does it? It doesn't have anything to do on with how they act or what they interact with right now. And I get what you're, saying with that. But still, yeah. No, you can't.
You know what the thing is? You know the thing is. I think it's hard, and I understand this.
I'm sorry. You cannot. Even though it doesn't have any bearing right now, you can't take that from me. Like I did.
I'm not saying you are.
I appreciate
that experience, and I'm not minimizing that experience.
No, it's just but what it I'm, doesn't have any bearing now on me or on how they should treat me or what I'm saying about me. I get all of that. But still, no. No.
This is one of the biggest things that I always express, especially when it's talking about racism, white supremacy, is one of the key things that we need to have is a detachment of our emotions and our feelings, because our attachment to our emotions and our feelings does not allow us to think critically.
I think that I've actually grown to not think with my emotions as much. I mean, except for this, of course, but
that's exactly what, because we came right to the focal point, because this may be something that you might have to at least get out of your feelings about.
No, I'm sorry, she's like no. And don't get me wrong, does it at least seem that it would be
constructive, even though you're not going to do it, but does it at least seem constructive not to be emotional when it comes to the aspect of trying to deal with respect with our children?
No, I'm sorry. I just, like I said, I agree with everything you said and the points you made about it. It makes a lot of sense. As I'm definitely open to, you know, if I was so much in my bag about it, I wouldn't be able to be like, you know what, he's making good points and I can see where he's coming from and I can understand why he's saying that. Definitely. I agree with what you're saying, with how you're saying, but for me personally,
for you,
my experience, I'm raising these kids on my own. I make sacrifice after sacrifice for them. I'm breaking my back. I'm working over 40 hours a week. I'm providing a home, roof, shelter. I'm an Uber driver from this practice to that practice to this party to that party. And all. To say that I'm not going to demand respect from them for me and for how they treat themselves is no. I'm not going to say that. I'm sorry. I'm their mother. Yeah. I do everything for them. I'm not saying that that just because I'm saying you have to respect me as your mother doesn't mean you don't have to respect yourself. I think they definitely have self-respect for them. They're not bad kids at all. But no, I'm not.
Could they have self-respect and not have respect for you?
Could they have self-respect and not have respect for me?
Yes.
Do you think that's possible?
Absolutely.
Now, how do you think I'm going to ask you a question. If you are if your kids are self-respecting, right? They respect themselves. They carry themselves as, you know, whatever, you know, they know how to have respect for themselves, how to be whatever. How can you have self-respect and not respect the people that brought you into the world? The person that's doing everything for you. How does that even make sense?
Because my respect is not based upon what people can do for me.
It's not so much do for you. It's just like, you know what I mean?
Well, let me finish. My respect for people, whether I have it or not, is not relegated based upon, well, let's be specific, my parents. My respect and my self-respect and the self-respect that I try to teach my children has to be independent of me. Why? Because I'm not going to be here. And in fact, there are going to be more times that their ability to test their self-respect is not going to include me. I need my children to be self-sufficient and self-reliant within a system that does not allow them, because they're not classified as white, to be so. So absolutely, it is an imperative. And in fact, I'd rather that my children have self-respect and show me no respect at all than to show me the utmost respect but have no self-respect for themselves.
And like I said, you know, that makes sense. I can see why you would say that, especially the way that you've put it. But yeah, we can just agree to disagree on this one, because I'm not.
Oh no, I don't think we're agreeing to disagree. We're not disagreeing here. All I'm asking is a perspective of dealing with it. That's
Well,
all.
yeah. I mean, what you just
I'm not
said,
a,
that makes a
I'm not,
lot, like I said, what you just said, that definitely makes a lot of sense, and are definitely going to have to know how to preserve and carry themselves, especially when they're out here in the world and you're not around to guide them. So I get what you're
So
saying.
you are definitely not, especially when it comes to racism. You even said that your youngest one, your 8-year-old,
Oh, he's a
he
mess.
like he's out, he's on it. He's on it dealing with racism and asking questions about racism before you even had a chance to sit down and talk to him about
Isn't that
it. So
crazy?
it's already happening, sister. They are already experiencing the world and they're experiencing racism, white supremacy, without you even having the notion to sit down to talk to them about it. So that's why, to kind of backtrack, that's why these little pieces about that respect and that self-respect piece is important and not relegated. Because you know what's another piece, and I don't want to go too deep into this. For me, as a non-white person, a male, being a father and being a husband, I cannot adequately have those titles in the system of white supremacy and not be classified as a white person. I can try and I can fake the funk, but I can't really protect my children, really. I mean, if we're gonna peel it back, I'm peel it back myself. If my son, perfect example, my oldest son, Makai, he was at the mall and he had a toy gun. He had a toy gun and he was running around with the toy gun in the mall. And somebody in the mall called the police on my son and said that he had a gun
How
in
old
the
is he?
mall. He's 10 years old. Okay. So what happened? And this happened last year. So he was 9 years old at the time. The police came. He was at the mall with his mother and his grandmother, and it was a very like tough situation. So they called me after what had happened. They were coming back from the mall. Something had happened. You need to talk to come see your son. I'm so, like, what happened? He had a toy gun, and they called the police. I was like, oh, and the time here, like my heart fell at the
Yeah,
bottom.
that. Oh my goodness.
Shoot. Right. And I'm the front. I got a little emotional. I started crying. I'm gonna be honest. And I was like, how am I going to talk to my son? Like, for real. Like, I was like, oh, what can I say to him? He's 9 years old and he doesn't even know what just happened. And he doesn't know that we could have just lost him.
So what did you say? What did you not say to him?
Right. So it was so hard. I was thinking. I took the long way to get there. They even called, like, are you still coming? I'm like, yes, I'm still coming. And I was like, I'm
I took the
thinking
long way to get
still,
there. Oh my
I'm
goodness.
still, because I was just like trying to figure out what I was going to say. Like, and like, I got to have this conversation with my son. What am I going to say? And I was just like, yo, I just got to be honest. And you know what? The truth of the matter is, I think it was the most liberating thing that I have ever said. And I was liberated. To me, I felt like I was liberated. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to be honest with him. Well, as soon as I walked in, right, everyone was all in an uproar. But when he saw me, he started crying. Like, as soon as he starts crying. And I was like, what's the matter? You know, and he's just like, oh man, the police. Like, and I'm like, oh, so now all of a sudden he was jumping. I heard him like trying to do black flips off the couch, but when he heard me come in, he starts crying. And I already knew, like, I think he's trying to cry to kind of soften me up because he think that he's going to be in trouble because that they called my dad because the police was called, type of thing,
You
you
know
know.
what? That's so crazy. It's kind of off the subject, but it's kind of on just
No,
how
yeah.
important black fathers are to these kids, like
Yeah,
how we were talking
yeah.
about discipline and all that. You know, my son's father has never laid a hand on him, but if I'm like, I'm mad, you know what? I'm calling your dad. Oh, mom, no. Like, what?
Right.
He
Yeah, that's right.
don't even touch you.
That's right.
It's just,
That's how it
it's
is.
so crazy. Like, you know, we as women, especially with boys, it's like you got to stay on them. But when you
Yeah,
said your
right.
that just made me think at home. Like, oh, he was going backwards. When I got there, he started crying, think he's gonna be in trouble. I'm like, you know what?
Exactly.
I'm just gonna call your dad. Forget. Oh, don't do. Please, no. Okay. Like, what?
It
He doesn't even touch you. I was, oh my goodness, I get jealous when that happens. But you know, I'm a woman, I'm not a man. That's the man's, you know, you can't really, like, you can't take that from men neither. When they're active in their kids' life like that, that shows just from that type of behavior. But you go ahead.
And no, absolutely no. That's good, man. Like even those little anecdotes and things you share, like the listeners are gonna love that. So no, this is dope. This is exactly what I wanted. But so yeah, so I come to my son and he's crying. I'm like, no, stop crying. You don't need to cry. He's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I was like, no, you don't have to apologize. You don't have to apologize. You're not in trouble. But I'm gonna let you know, son, you are in danger. And he just stopped crying. And he's like, what do you mean? Like, I was like, yes, yeah, son, you're not in trouble with me, but I need to let you know that you are in danger. You're in a dangerous situation. And I am in the dangerous situation with you. If I was with you, I want you to, and I said, if I was with you at the mall and you had the same situation happen, exactly what had happened would have happened even with me being there. I do not have the power to stop a police officer from chastising you or trying to kill you. And so everything was just like, I am a non-white person just like you, and we are not in a position of power to deal with this situations. And so we are in danger. I'm in danger and you are in danger. And so because we are both in danger, hold on one second. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, so the last thought. Ultimately, what I had said to him that no, you're not in trouble, but you are in danger, and that I'm in danger as well. And so I tried to introduce an understanding of the system that we're in. And it places me in a position because of this system that I'm a victim and you are a victim as well. But what we can do is we can figure this out together. So I ultimately told them that we can kind of figure this out and we'll work together on making this better. But what happened with you at the mall and what happened with you with the police officer, you were placed yourself in even a much more dangerous situation than you're already in. And I need you to be mindful. I need you to be mindful of the danger that we are in, you and me together. We are both in danger. And if we work together and if we think before we act and think before we speak, we will help minimize some of the issues and problems that we're going to face. And so he understood. I think he understood, but I don't know if he understood. But I wanted him to. But what I didn't want him to have a false sense of security that would have fed my ego and my pride. Oh, you know, if Daddy was there, I'd have been the
Oh, well, yeah.
superhero.
I mean, I think you handled it the
You
right
know,
way. And even if he didn't.
yeah, I didn't want that. I didn't want him to think that. Oh, you know, if my dad would have been there, because that, even though that sounds good, and that would have fed my ego and my pride. That would have created a false sense of security for my son. And in essence, I would have been lying to him. And I do not want to lie to my children, even no matter how hard and uncomfortable it may make me look or it may make me be seen, you know. And the most important thing that I could do at that time was to let him know that he was in a dangerous situation and I myself is in the same dangerous predicament as him. So, yeah. So that's what that was. And it was hard. It was rough. Like it was a rough experience. It was a rough situation for myself, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine. I wouldn't even, you know how. I mean, oh my goodness, I wouldn't even know what to do. And cops and our sons, it's another thing. It's just so it's a sticky situation with them as well. Because of course you want to teach them, but you know, how do you feel? Even with myself, because you know, my brother, he's a cop. But before my brother became a cop, my just whole opinion on him was just basically how all of ours is, for real.
Right.
But then when my brother became, it kind of shifted a little bit. Like, yeah, F them, and they look at us like this, and they look at us like that. But wait, my brother's out there, and you know, he puts himself in a dangerous position every day. It's just crazy now.
Right. Yeah, it is crazy. It is crazy. Wanted to kind of segue into this last segment. Segue into the last segment. This is a question I ask everyone. Do you think it's appropriate for white people to have sexual interaction and or sexual play with non-white people while racism is in existence?
I guess I don't know. People have sex with people they don't respect every day. The same race, different races, all types of stuff. It's like, that's like sex is for some people, it's like it's just detached from anything else you feel. As long as you have lust, it does nothing else really even matters.
But is it appropriate?
Is it appropriate?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. I guess I don't really care for real.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Question. Is it appropriate for a teacher to have sex with a student?
No, of course not.
Is it appropriate for a police officer to have sex with somebody, a person they arrested?
You twisting it around again. I see this. No, it's not. No, because I see how you're going to go back to, so why is it appropriate for white people to have sex with black people? And they don't. Okay, go ahead. You can finish.
Yeah. No, but then since you already know this, so now I'm going to ask you, so I don't have to go through the entire diatribe.
Yeah, I see. I've said this during the whole thing. Like, I see where you're going with this. Okay.
So is it appropriate then? If it's not appropriate for all these other relationships that we understand the power dynamic between the people, which makes it inappropriate, how is it that the power dynamic that is prevalent between white and non-white people, it's not appropriate when they engage in sexual activity?
I think because of those professions you just brought up or whatever, even with like something like doctor and client and all that. I mean, they're professionals. They that's part of their job is to not do that. White people don't have nothing. They're not taking no oath saying, like, just because I might not like a black person don't mean I won't have sex with black women. Like, that's not.
Yo, do you understand the oath that is taken when they say that, yes, I'm white? The very first question I ask before I start the podcast, are you white and non-white? When I talk to a white person and they literally say I'm white, they are ultimately also saying that I classify myself according to the racial classification that ultimately places me in a position of power to whoever who is not classified that me being white. And they are subject to that power because they are not classified as white.
I mean, that's true, but so they didn't choose to be white. The people choose to be, people choose to be a teacher. People choose to be a cop. People choose to be a doctor. They can't help it that they white. Like, they didn't choose to be white. You know what I mean?
Question. Can you choose to be a racist?
I mean, yeah. Are you born? No, nobody's born a racist. That's taught behavior.
Okay, so here we go. Are white people racist by nature of them calling themselves white?
Do you think so?
I wouldn't answer a question with a question, so I'll answer.
I don't think. I mean, or, that's like all white people, like every single white person, is racist.
I suspect every person who classifies themselves as white to be a racist, because the only reason to classify yourself as white is to practice racism. Racial classification, racial classification is not real. It's fictitious. It's a construct. It's an idea. It was created, and it was created by white people. And it was created for the sole purpose to practice white supremacy, racism. So when a white person classifies and calls themselves white, they are indirectly and directly telling you that they plan on maintaining, supporting, and practicing white supremacy.
Okay, so I have a question for you. If you were to interview a white person, you ask them that same question.
I have.
If you interview them, a white person, and you ask them that same question that you asked me, and they be like, "I'm non-white," you're going to ask them, so then what do you consider yourself, right? Because if a white person's like, "I'm non-white," then what are you?
Very, very good question. The question is to ask you, what are the qualifications that make somebody white? The qualifications is very specific, all right? Being white has nothing to do with pale skin or blue eyes and blonde hair. That's not what makes you white. Being white is based upon a very particular set of qualifications that fall under, do you classify yourself as white? Number two, do white people see you as white? And number three, do you come from people who originate from Europe, the Middle East, or North Africa? These are the definitions, these are the qualifications for white. And they can operate in one or two more or all three at a time to make a person white. So there are white people who do not see themselves as white, but other white people see them as white. Then there are people who do see themselves as white, but other white people do not see them as white. And there are people, regardless of whether they see themselves or not being accepted or being accepted and not see themselves, if their people originate from Europe, the Middle East, or North Africa. So there are white people who do not see themselves as white, but they are seen as white by white other white people. Perfect example, Italians. Hey, are you white? Oh, no, I'm not white. I'm Italian.
They get mad at that shit too. Right?
Yeah, but guess what? Every white person knows that sees and deals with you and sees you as a white person, even though you may not see yourself as white.
Right.
Then there's Hispanic. Then there's some Hispanics who are like, well, yes, I see myself as white. Right, but nobody sees them as white. No, you're Mexican, and you're.
I don't understand them.
Do you see what I'm saying? So these, and guess what? And this is the other piece. You know what caused the confusion between these qualifications is whiteness. The real ultimate question that we need to start asking when you see a white person: do you have whiteness? See, whiteness is what codifies the power. I don't use the word privilege. I get away from using the word privilege. I use the word power. So I talk about white power. I don't talk about white privilege. Because when a white person is talking about white privilege, they're really talking about white power, but they just don't want you to feel offended that they're talking about white power, so you don't know that they're talking about white power. So they say white privilege. That's a trick. Yeah, that's a trick. I don't play that. Whiteness is something completely different. Whiteness allows them to access and use the power, whether they're conscious of it or not conscious of it. So the real question is that I ask a white person, are you white or non-white? They'll say white. Okay. They'll say I'm white. All right. And then my next question is, are you a racist? No, I'm not a racist. Okay. Do you have whiteness? Yes. I mean, I have whiteness. I had nothing to do with it because I was born into this situation. So if whiteness is a codified representation of white power, does that not make you a racist? Well, I mean, I might be racist, but I'm not conscious about it.
They're probably not thinking about it into it like all like that, because honestly, until you just broke all that down, I didn't know the difference.
I'm going to tell you something. You are not a white person. I would not expect for you to know that.
But do you think that the regular Joe white person running a Starbucks to get their coffee, you think they know that?
Yeah, let me tell you something, Mr. Joe running the Starbucks. They are not. They are not stupid. They are not ignorant.
Yeah, I know.
Dumbfounded about racism at all. Not one white person walking the planet over the age of 16 is dumb, illiterate, or naive to what racism is. They know exactly who is white and who is not white. They may not be able to tell Asians apart. They may not be able to tell Spanish people apart, but they know who is white and who is not white.
Okay.
And because they know who is white is not white, and they know racism exists, they 100% are fully informed on how to maintain and practice white supremacy. The question and issue is that they don't let you know that they know. It is much easier for a smart individual to play dumb than it is for a dumb individual to play smart.
Absolutely.
So any white person that you may have come in contact with, and you're like, you know what? They really are just naive. They really just don't know what it really means. They are lying to you, and you are being played in the worst way. And you are a bigger fool than they had intended you to be. There is not one white person, especially the one that works at your son's school, the gym teacher, that is ignorant to the situation at hand.
Oh, I didn't mean that.
Yeah. So yeah, the regular Joe Schmo at the Starbucks. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, makes sense.
So, what do you think? Is it appropriate?
Oh, we're back to this.
Come on, you don't want to go on that tangent. Hey, I got a question for you. All right, no problem.
No, now, I was just asking because, you know, honestly, white, non-white, I'm just, you know, it was just all white to me before. But that's why I asked you that, because you're like, well, they're like, well, I did not know that. So, yeah. You know.
It's imperative. Yeah. It's imperative. So back to this, to the sex thing. Do you think it's appropriate while racism is in existence that non-white people and white people have sexual interaction and or sexual play?
I mean, probably not really. Probably shouldn't. But,
yeah. Now, this is the other piece because, and I have to be a little bit more vocal about this. I am not talking about like mixed race children and multiracial or supposed interracial relationships. That's not what I'm talking about. You know why? Because the idea, the concept of a white person and a black person coming together and producing a child is one of the most constructive things that two human beings can do, right? The issue and problem is the system. I have an issue with white supremacy. I don't have an issue with white people. And I think sometimes if you're listening, sometimes they're just like, yo, he just doesn't like white people. No. I haven't said anything negative or derogatory about white people. I'm just talking about the system. And white people, who are classified as white, are part of that system. And so I have an issue with the system. I don't have the issue with people. And so when it comes to sex happening, obviously sex had to occur for a supposed mixed race child to be born.
Why you say a supposed mixed race child?
Because there's no such thing as mixed races. There's only one race in existence. And according to from what I've observed, the only race in existence is white. Everyone else is non-white. So there's no mixing of the races if there's only one race that's in existence.
Okay.
So because of that, because there are in that proposed idea, that's not what I'm speaking about. I'm speaking about sexual activity and or sexual play. Because you know why? Neo-Nazis and KKK and alt-right and all those people, they are not with the mixing of the races, supposedly. They don't want no black and white mixed babies being born.
Right? Oh, absolutely.
But they have no problem gang raping a black woman. They have no issues and problems supporting black prostitution. They have no problems and issues fulfilling their sexual desires and curiosity about getting with a black man and black penis. They have no issues and problems doing the sexual acts and sexual play. But what they don't want to do is they don't want the races mixing. In my counter-racist logic that I practice, I'm the exact opposite. I'm with all the babies being born. In fact, I think there should be more babies that should be born. But what I'm not with is just frivolous sexual interaction with white people, especially while racism is in existence. So you're not having sex for sex sake. No. Now, if you're intending on having babies and y'all getting married and y'all intending on okay, go ahead, do what you do. But if you don't intend on doing that, if you're not intending on having something and building something, then don't. I suggest that you restrain from just having frivolous sexual interaction with white people until we eliminate the system of white supremacy.
Just hold on to it.
Don't just be like, oh, well, I'm still going to go mess with these white girls, or, you know, I still going to get hair from these white. Hey, well, nah, man, because that's not, because what's happening is, you know why it is an issue and problem? Sex is the one of the most powerful interactions we have as human beings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the ability for the system of white supremacy to control one of the most powerful interactions, it is used to maintain this very system. It is used to maintain the confusion. You know what the number one confusion thing is? If black folk, if a correct amount of black folk are having sex with white people, it will give a signal to black folk that racism may not exist.
Mm.
And that is what gets us. And deep down, that is what we think. We think if we can have sex with them, not just, no, forget having babies, because that's too deep and that's too real. But if we could just if we could just have sex for sex's sake, if we can just do something sexual with them just for the reason of doing sex itself, then maybe racism and white supremacy is really not in existence. And that is the trick. Remember I told you it's an illusion. They are masquerading.
Right.
So they create an illusion. Tell them, come here. They are masters of illusion. They are masters of deception. They have, in their way, created a situation to make black folk think that white supremacy is not in existence because you can have frivolous sex with white women or frivolous sex with white men.
Right. Yeah. I honestly and truly never even thought of it like that for real. You know, you just look at sex as, I mean, and not saying me personally, but people just do what they want, but I didn't think of it to the level of, like, you know, we're accepting of it. We'll start putting on blinders, like, well, maybe they don't really think they're superior to us, and we're mm-hmm. we're equal now. So, I mean, that's a good point.
Yeah, that is exactly what is happening.
That's a good point. I probably also didn't think about it either because, you know, I've never, you know, so I just never really looked at it like that.
It's usually to ask that. Now, what happened if your boys come in? Now, if your boys wind up coming through and they have a wife.
Oh, gosh. I knew that was coming.
That's real. That's when it becomes real now, huh?
Oh, Jesus. I mean, of course, I would prefer for them to get a beautiful black woman, you know, that can understand them, their struggle, what they're going to go through, what they're going to face and all that. But, I mean, I guess it honestly would just really depend on how they treat my son. If they're happy, I'm trying to be happy for them. You know, I'm not going to lie. That would be a very hard pill for me to swallow. Just because I already know that just as white women, the white women that I've conversed with, the white women that I've had conversations with don't even understand me. So how are they going to, like, you know, really be able to really relate to black men and what they have to go through and things like that? So,
The number one relating action. They don't have to cognitively understand a black man to have sex with him.
Yeah, I'm not talking about sex. I'm just saying you didn't say sex. You said if my son brought a woman home, if they're bringing a white woman home to me.
I'm ultimately letting you know the only reason why that white woman would be in their home is because they can have sex.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, if you're bringing them home, if I'm meeting them, you must feel some type of way about them because there's nothing else. You know.
I don't doubt that. Black people feel true love and compassion for white people. I'm not disputing that. What I'm just saying, the context and when these interactions are happening unbeknownst to black folk, but completely known to white folk. Because I'm gonna let you know, every single white person who engages in sexual activity with a with a black person or a non-white person, they know that they are taking advantage of them. They know. They know that they. You want to know how they know? Do they know that they're white? Yes. Do they know that racism exists? Yes. Because they know that racism exists and they know exactly what racism entails, they are participating in taking advantage of the situation through sexual interaction, through a sexual manner. And with this advent of the Me Too movement, people are coming to realize that, you know what? There are certain concessions that if you're in a position of power, that being sexual or making sexual advances is inappropriate. Isn't it deep that we are in a climate now to where part of the social commentary is to be mindful of the inequality that is created when sexual advances are made because of the power dynamic between people? Yet and still, in the midst of that very situation that we're having happen in society, no one is looking and seeing how that is happening between white and non-white people.
I told you that. I already told you the reason why. Because people, you know, I mean, and what you're saying makes sense. And it definitely makes sense. And if you're like a white person and you know all of everything you explained to me, yeah, you probably shouldn't be having sex with black people or any other race or whatever, knowing everything that's going on. But like I said, you know, they just look at them as just regular white people. They're not looking at them in position of power, even though you've made it clear, like, as a white person, you do have some exact, you do. But, you know, they had those people that are in those positions, you know, to higher standards.
So like Serena Williams, her baby's dad, her husband.
I heard her dad didn't even go to the wedding because he was not condoning that. I don't know if that's true, but that's what I heard.
He ain't no regular white boy either. He a multi-million, almost billionaire.
Right. He is.
So he ain't no wreck. So what standard should we? So should we not at least could we at least understand? You know why? You know why it's also not equal? Check this out. You cannot show me anywhere where there are black men who are of high class or multimillionaire black men getting with multimillionaire white women.
Oh no, their daddies ain't having that.
No, check this out. When you see among black folk, right, are the ones that are reflective of high class, right, and of multi-billionaire status and things of that nature, when they get with a white woman, she's either from middle to low class white people. They are not getting with elite white women who come from generational wealth.
I've said that before.
But check this out. When it comes to our people, right? When it comes to the other end, when they get with a black person, they get with our high class multimillionaires, whether they be athletes or entertainers, because that's just what's reflective in our community. But even some of our multimillionaire businessmen. And then guess what's on the other reverse end? Multimillionaire billionaire white men stay getting with some middle to low class black women. So we all think that it's happening equally. Oh, you know, whites are getting with blacks equally, and
No.
The classes, the social classes, and the groups among is not equal. You cannot find me a Bilderberg or a Rothschild daughter, or daughter of the Heinz, or daughter of the Rockefellers, or, you know what I mean, or the Vanderbilts. You don't see none of those women like he just signed a $10 million. He just signed a $10 million 2-year deal with the Dolphins, and we love each other. You don't see that. You don't see that. They don't do that.
They don't. They definitely don't. But they don't get. But you know what? When you're up there with the Vanderbilts, the DuPonts, and all of them, their classism is real. They don't even look at regular white men.
Listen, I would never. First of all, the system of white supremacy is a system of confusion, and I do know this: that Trump look at white people, how white people interact among themselves, is the most imperative thing that we cannot be confused about. So you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It is confusing, and it is confusing on purpose. There are some things that you've been doing. I wanted to see if you can kind of, just before we close, kind of share some of the things that you got going on. Some, your writings and things of that nature.
Oh yeah. I am a writer. I'm not doing as often as I was, as I should have been, but I am picking it back up. I have like 16 books actually. Majority of them are like self-published on Amazon. They're available for Kindle or paperback. You can order them there. I'm in the process of trying to do something a little bigger now. Occasionally I do write for three websites. I do blogs for them. Some are entertainment pieces, some are just what's off the top of my head, some are what they may ask me to do. So I love to write. I've always actually loved to write ever since I was a little girl. I'm an avid reader and have always really been an avid writer. But only over the last couple of years did I decide to, like, I'm going to pursue this and try to take this seriously, because it's what really makes me happy. Like, I can do this for free. Like, nobody has to ask me or demand me to do it. I have a passion for it.
Awesome. I just want to tell you, I'm a fan,
Thank
and I just appreciate, just like, what's your name? They can just look up your name. Anyone that's listening, they can just look up your name on Amazon and your books will come up.
Yes, it's Tiana, Tiana Grover, Grover. And a page will come up and a link to all the books that are available. Those will come up as well. And if you were just to type in my name, you'll be able to find some of the blogs and the sites and the websites that I've written for as well.
Man, I just think, yo, what do you, your professional opinion from kind of checking out, what do you think about my, as a literary person, because I myself intend on being a writer as well. I mean, I've written some stuff and stuff, but so far, how do you think, what do you think about it? What's your professional opinion?
What?
Constructive criticism
On what?
about
You didn't give me
about
nothing.
the about my my about the podcast
Oh,
and
the
social.
lane is wide open for this. I think it'll be
Social
great.
media, how the social media is and stuff, like
You
your
know what?
experience.
You have great commentary on social media, and I'm going to tell you why I think it is. It's because it's like you say things that people might think, but they're like probably afraid to say. And even when people comment on it, you go right back at them with their comments. It's like, it's unbiased. It's like you're just not afraid to speak with your opinion or whatever. And it's your opinion. You're entitled to that. It's like you get under people's skin, but in a good way, to make you think about things that you never really thought about before. Like, I'm very candid and honest. I told you myself, like, a couple times doing this, like, oh, I never even thought about it like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think you're good at that. And yeah, you get a reaction out of people, but it's always good to get a reaction, right?
True. And how did you, what did you think about your episode? What did you
I
think?
think it went well because, I think just think we had great commentary.
Good, man. Well, again, I just want to thank you, Tiana, man. I'm a fan, and
Thank
I
you.
appreciate and appreciative of your content that you create in the space that you also create, and as being a black mother, a single black mother, and just doing what you're doing, man. I just want to tell you, thank you for everything that you've done, man. And just
Thank you so
appreciate
much. I'm not doing nothing I'm not supposed to do.
it. Ooh, see, that's what I'm talking about. So, but yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Okay.
All
All
right.
right.
Bye.
All right.